Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. We're back. We're back at episode 198. This is a special episode, Izzy. Did you know that?
I did. I heard about this.
This could be one of the most special episodes in the history of the franchise. And the reason is the number 198 is Bill 198, according to Keeping the Promise for a Strong Economy Act. I don't know if you knew that, but it's a Canadian legislative bill.
Are we still on 198?
That's the reason. I think we've been on 198 for the last five. I just keep writing 198 down on my notebook.
I was going to say, like, it feels like this is, we've been doing 198 for a while. We've been in the 190s for at least 6 months.
Well, the cool thing is, aside from the Canadian legislative bills, the exciting thing about this podcast is somebody is back. I'm going to give you three guesses who is back, Izzy.
Paul Charchin.
That's a flashback. He was on like episode six.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Do you want to know who was on before Paul Charchin, though?
Episode five. Nick Whelan.
Nicholas Whelan.
Yes.
Is back. Roll the music.
Yes. And fireworks.
Last year, Nick quit the podcast. Now we're back together. Misunderstanding. Didn't understand. Doesn't matter. Now we're back together again. La 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 la. Couldn't split up Cato and Nash. That's true. Couldn't split up Tango and Cash. That's also true. This is our song of exulting joy because we only came to kick some ass. Rock the f***ing house and kick some ass. What we gonna do with all the cash? I smoke cash, and then we thrash. We'll throw a big old bash, y'all. And everyone's invited to the bash. You're all invited to the bash. Come on, JP, one time, come on.
Nick, welcome back, man.
Thanks, man. I'm fist pumping over here. I was pumped thinking back to those days. That was like three homes, you know, ago. It was so long.
Three Mahomes. Then,
yeah, man, it was a long time ago. But no, thanks. You know, why don't you guys say how this came about?
So this came to fruition just like we were in a league together. It's the Nerd Calculators League, right? And it's kind of funny. There are some people who are a little bit slow to pay for their fees, their yearly dues. And I'm not one of them, but Rich from the Dynasty Nerds basically said, all of the nerds have paid, but some of the calculators have not paid. So I think Whelan from DTC and Hurley from DTC has paid or something along those lines, right? Do you have the exact verbiage?
Yeah, no, it's along those lines. Yeah.
So Rich from Nerds called Whelan DTC, and then it's like, hey, you know, the wheels are kind of spinning here a little bit. Maybe we should bring Whelan back. And I think this was kind of like something we co-discussed, and it just turned into magic.
That's not how it went down, and that's not how I remember it going down.
Okay, well, let's hear your version.
My perspective was he said all of that was correct, and then I think somebody said, when did Nick get traded?
I said that, yes.
Yes. You asked when Nick got traded, and then it kind of like...
When did we acquire
we
Nick?
We kind of
trade,
like, yeah. Ha-ha, he-heed a little bit. And then Nick basically sent us a text. It was more like the MJ, I'm back. Like, well, now I'm on the team. I just got traded. Let's do this.
Right.
Let's dance.
Do you remember the price? Do you remember the price?
It was like the OnlyFans. It was like $6.99. Like,
Rich said you can have Waylon for
three firsts. That's what it was. Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of felt like Saquon or MJ. So I was like, hey, if we're doing this, we paid the price.
Yeah, and we gave three firsts, right? Like, we were just like, okay, F it.
Right. I mean, that when you can get MJ, you know.
There you go. Right. MJ for three titles firsts, that's nothing.
Right.
Waylon is back. This is awesome, man. Why don't you just take us through, like, obviously our listeners know who you are. They've been asking, they've been clamoring for you to come back for the, what has it been, 2 years, 3 years?
At least two, I think. Yeah. You want to go, like, over, like, you want, like, my background, or, like, what do you want for you all to know?
Yeah, let's talk about, like, what you've been up to since you left, just in case there are people that didn't get a chance to track you, because you are kind of heavily on Twitter, but some of our listeners may not have Twitter accounts, and they may have just kind of lost track of where you've been.
Yeah, okay, so my name is Nick, you know, I'm 35.
Hi, Nick.
So, my whole background is I used to coach, you know, college football. I was kind of a grunt worker in there, but I have experience, I think, at 5 colleges. A few high schools. So, Izzy will appreciate this. We played Georgia my second year at Western Kentucky, and it was Matt Stafford's first game in college. So that was cool being in Georgia. But, I learned a lot of football from there. And then from there, went to writing. And, you know, I worked with Matt Wallman a little bit. I was at DLF for a while. I made the Devy Report, which I'm still making. That's 6 years. Making that now. That goes by quick, boys. And then I do, you know, the graduates now. I do some film stuff with the nerds. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, I like the film aspect of this. And I like debating with Izzy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dude, why don't I just hop on here and just keep debating with Izzy? And you guys can record it now.
Yeah, it's like, why are we debating via text in like box? Right. Why don't we just do it on the pod? Like, it's way better.
You never stopped. Yeah.
No.
Make it official.
No. But here's the part of it, too, is like, you know, I've met all of you guys, which is cool. You know, Izzy, before the quarantine, he'd come down here. We'd have lunch probably, what, every other month, Izzy, whenever you'd have time.
Way more than that. I'd say at one point I was traveling there for work every few weeks. At least once a month we were getting together. Spent the night at your house a couple times.
Yeah. Jay, remember Chicken Licks? You loved that place.
Yes. He took me to a dive, basically, where I felt like I was either walking into a NASCAR viewing show or a rodeo. I wasn't.
It sounds like a Borat scenario to me.
Basically, that's what it felt like. And I was walking USNA.
USNA. Jinx.
he was concerned for his safety. Dude. So
there was pickup truck at like just giant pickup truck after Camaro, like the whole thing, like just very rural. I was worried for my safety. Everybody in there was not of my color. I was worried. I was legit. I'm
did
like,
you
dude,
sing the
this was like in the middle of he took me to the middle of nowhere in this little dive. And it was like
he didn't like you there back then, yeah. Obviously.
He's like, oh, this place is going to be great. You're going to love it. They're going to love you.
Yeah, you're going to get killed, but you're going to love
it.
Yeah. But how was the food?
Delicious.
See?
It was very good.
Did you sing the Kazakhstan national anthem in the middle of the bar during karaoke night?
I walked in and there was another individual of minority descent. And I was like, okay.
Did you high five him?
We winked across the room. Like, we both knew.
I'm going to do that with white guys from now on. Like, it's probably going to send the wrong message, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start like lisping. No, nah, I shouldn't do that. Never mind.
Isn't it like, I don't know. I have like this weird, like, it's, I don't want to say generalization, but like, I always tie like certain things, like, and it might be just like depictions from like movies or what we see. And I'm like, I always go to a situation like, oh man, I'm probably not welcome here. And it's likely just from a culmination of, I don't know, it's not life experiences, because I've never actually experienced like flat out racism, but I'm always like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about certain situations where I immediately think I'm probably not welcome here.
Yeah, like when you come to my house.
Yeah, yes. Hurley's house. The dive bars.
Hey, I've been there. I've been to Hurley's house.
There you go. Hurley's house. Yep.
I don't know what it is. I wish I knew what it was. Birthday.
My surprise 40th birthday party, Waylon joined in the fun.
Yeah.
We hung out in Minneapolis also during a fantasy football get-together. You came up again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. We've met in person plenty.
Right, and we can't leave out Mo. Me and Mo meeting up to shoot guns. That was awesome. Skeet shooting, that was boom.
We did that. Izzy did it too, surprisingly.
Oh, my God, that was terrible.
Oh, did he?
Oh, my God.
How'd he do?
Dude, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Literally hit one clay out of maybe 120 tries. I don't know. We'll have to have Mo clarify.
It was that many. It was like 115.
Oh, Izzy.
I'm kidding. I don't know. It wasn't that many. But no, I couldn't. I wouldn't even. I don't think I was even close. Like those clay things were there. They could have been eating lunch, and I couldn't hit them.
It wasn't your gun, though. You're not a shotgun kind of guy in Call of Duty, so I wouldn't imagine you feeling too natural with it. So
I mean, I had never shot the one time I've shot a gun in my life was my dad. He brought home a
BB
gun.
You shot your dad?
No, I couldn't. If I wanted to, I probably still would have missed him. He brought home a BB gun, and we went downstairs, and he put like, but we're not gun guys. We're not gun people, but he's like, okay, you know, something fun for the kid, whatever. He got like a little target, little paper target, and he put like a 2x4 on in our basement wall, and it was like an unfinished basement. And I shot this BB, and of course, it hit the wood and bounced back at us like, because it's not so that I'm was like my first experience. I'm a dumbass. I mean, you're getting immigrants coming here that don't know guns, and they're like, oh yeah, guns, yeah, and then you just have it's just not our thing, clearly.
Is you trying to you know go skeet shooting with Mo and trying to hit the target, was it almost like Ohio State trying to guard Devonta Smith?
Very similar.
Ooh, I like it.
Very similar.
Yeah,
nothing within 10 okay. yards. Yep.
Right, yeah, okay. The whole time.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, and instead of saying hike, they would say pull to snap the ball. That's what I do as a quarterback. Instead, like people got their own signatures, you know, like the Blue 42 or the Omaha. I say pull.
Yeah,
they don't snap it because they don't know what I'm talking about. But also, I'm not a quarterback. Anyway, we managed to make this intro about Izzy despite Nick Whalen being back, which is the main point. I think. To summarize, Waylon is back. It's not just a one-time thing. It's going to be a regular thing, so we're super excited. Izzy and I just kind of have been getting bored on the podcast with each other, looking at each other's stupid faces. So nice to have Nick Whalen back in the mix. And believe it or not, in spite of the fact that we've talked about ourselves for the last like 15 minutes, we actually have fantasy football topics to cover while Waylon is on the podcast. So it's kind of like a win-win type of scenario here. And what we're going to do here, Izzy, you had some sort of stupid segue. I'm just going to skip that and do my own, okay?
I don't even remember what the stupid segue was, so go ahead.
Something about luck versus skill. Anyway, whatever it is. I don't care. Anyway. So this is a wonderful time of year to kind of reevaluate the way your leagues are set up and maybe make suggestions to the commissioner, or if you are the commissioner, make suggestions to yourself. Just go stand in the mirror in the bathroom and talk to yourself about some league settings. And maybe improve how your league is run and make it a little bit more fun for yourself and your league mates. And we've got a lot of suggestions for you to kind of take back and consider for your own leagues. Since it's the offseason, this is when you vote for new rules. So many, many things to talk about. In fact, I'm going to ask Waylon, this was kind of your baby. So is there any one area that you want to talk about first? What's a good way to kick this off?
I think I want to go with the most difficult subject first, and then we can ease off.
I know
like
what
the most controversial to start with.
Let's get it.
And I'm going to go with, I'm going to do my reasoning afterwards so then Izzy can't cut me off. I want to talk about allowing teams to tank in your dynasty league. Okay. So, and why this should be a thing. So, you know, tanking in general, which we've seen in the NFL now, if you watch the Eagles last game, is to increase your odds, right? Or make you, make it sure you have a higher draft pick. Okay. Now, when you're eliminated from playoff contention or you know you're not a contender, you don't want to win. But also, if you're a playoff caliber team and you watch your opponents and they play one of these easy teams, you're like, man, I hope that really bad team just lucks into having a good week and beats that other team. Like, that's what we all think. But when you think of what's best for the league and for each team, it would be for that bad team to lose. So that way they can get a higher pick and be a playoff caliber team in the future. So I don't know why we play this game of like, we need integrity and all teams should try.
Why do you need integrity?
Because like, it's not even real. Like, tell me what integrity is. Like, they want you to field a lineup to beat another team when it's not good for their own team. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's telling you, like, you have to buy this product and you don't even want this product, but you should because you're in the store.
Yep, sure. My big thing with tanking, and I get it. I think if you were in a league where it was completely 100% all play, so what that means is the all play feature is there's no head to head. It's purely top six every week get a win, bottom six every week get a loss. Totally cool with that. I'm fine with tanking. It doesn't impact the head to head meetings throughout the course of the season. So your example was team realizes after a few weeks, whatever, that they're not going to make the playoffs, so they tank. Yep. The problem with that is, in a head-to-head format, you have 13 weeks, and there's 12 teams. So you're playing at least one game against every team, and then one doubleheader or two doubleheaders. Now, the first 4 weeks, that team fields a very strong lineup, right? Or tries to field a strong lineup. Then, 5 through 13, or 6 through 13, whatever it is, they start fielding a really shitty lineup. So now what you've had is, well, the first 5 or 6 weeks, the teams that played that specific team were getting full effort. And then the back half of the league, or the second half of the league, is getting the lower end of the effort. So when you're going down and looking at the teams and who they're playing, like their records, and getting down to the wire for teams trying to get in, the teams that had, and now what we're talking about, you're talking about one team. But if you're okay with tanking, by the time you get to week 11, 12, 13, you could have five teams that are mailing it in.
They should be.
And those five teams could be playing against teams that are vying for playoff spots. And now you've had a completely imbalanced schedule. And that's what I don't like. My whole thing is I try to reduce luck as much as possible in all of my leagues. And the more layers of luck that you add, and I think tanking adds another layer of luck, are you lucky enough to get the teams that are bad at the end of the season or not in terms of if they're tanking? And so I think...
Tell me how this is different. Like, this is where I get that. And you know, teams get around tanking. They're like, they'll trade away good players and they'll, you know, because then if it's like bench points or whatever, then they'll like get rid of vets. Like, there's no difference. Like, the team that's strong in the beginning of the year, they lose some games, then they trade away some good players. There's really no difference because the teams that faced them early in the season, that's not fair. They had Saquon Barkley. Then Saquon Barkley tears his ACL. Now they don't. That's not fair. They didn't play against a full strength. It's the same thing. And you talked about how, you know, eliminating luck and how like, well, these teams, now they're facing this team that's super easy and you're trying to fight for a playoff spot. It should always be in your own interest. Like, if you want to make the playoffs, you should beat the teams that are playoff worthy or are good. If you didn't, you shouldn't be in the playoffs. Like, it should always be your own control to get in.
Yeah, but sometimes
you can't. It shouldn't be, I got in because the team with two wins got a third win. Man, look at me get in. Okay, that's fine, but it doesn't help the team with two wins.
No, I get that, but I'm less worried about the team that's losing and the imbalance of the scheduling. You had mentioned, I tried to go full, I didn't tank, like, I don't want to call it tanking because I started my best lineup, but.
What do you call it? Like strategic fading?
I don't know. Like, yeah, like there's a bunch of different names for it, but
it's tanking,
I went into the season and I did what Nick did, was said to do. I sold off all my running backs and I was starting Darius Geis at one point with Jordan Wilkins. And then I end up picking up Jonathan Ward,
He's
from Arizona. And yeah, I started him. I started Ryan Nall 1 week. So yeah, I was rotating some running backs in, but I was still starting my best players everywhere else. So my whole thing with going for bad picks is I always just dump my running backs because I don't want them anyways because they lose value and they're just way more volatile as an asset. So I really start stockpiling receivers and quarterbacks and tight ends and picks. But I ended up winning four games and I finished at 104. And I started no running backs. Jordan Wilkins went off like a couple weeks, but I won four games and my team isn't even that good, but I was starting every week as my best lineup. Like if I was trying to win, this was my team. And I put it out there and I said, you know, this is, to me, that's the most fair. I'm starting my best team on a weekly basis. If my team gets worse over time, I'm still giving my best foot forward every week. I'm still putting my best foot forward every week in terms of my, and it hurt me, right? I got the 104. I lost out on Trevor. The last 2 weeks, I went from having Trevor Lawrence to losing out on Trevor Lawrence, losing out on a top three pick.
So you're like the Jets. You suck at sucking.
I suck at sucking, you know? Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. That's the way I feel fantasy. I would want my league mates to play that way. If I was a commissioner, I want it to be done that way. I'm very big on integrity and just about anything. So I
would agree.
If it's agreed on, it's not a not lack of integrity. If it's in the rules that you can do it, it's not a lack of integrity.
Yeah, but But I think that's a philosophy that I think you stand on one end of the spectrum, and it's very hard to convince somebody because all of the cards have been laid out. There isn't like some, silver bullet that nobody's come up with and said, hey, you know what? This is why you shouldn't tank. And it's really, I just feel like with money involved, with competition, with if you're going to be a competitor, you should always give effort. Even if your focus is on the future, you should still put your best foot forward every week. And your goal should be, if you actually want to make your team worse and you want to play for the future, then trade for the future and make your team worse in order to do that. Don't bench great players just because you want to have a better team next year. I think it's just like the easy way out. And I just don't like it.
It's still a form of tanking what you're talking about, but I agree. I like the concept of people making an attempt to field competitive lineups from week to week. It doesn't make sense to bench like your best players just because you want a better pick, but there's got to be some middle ground, right?
Yeah,
and maybe this is like, so Waylon, I think this topic was all about bettering your leagues, and this could be a suggestion. Izzy and I, and actually while Waylon's on the podcast, we talked about it several times, but one of the ways to help eliminate the potential for tanking is the disrespect draft. And that could be something that people who are listening could try to bring to their leagues, right? Mm-hmm. For those that don't know about it. Izzy, have you found a succinct way to describe it yet? Because I haven't.
Have I found a succinct way to describe anything?
That's valid. That's a valid question.
No, I honestly, it's the easiest thing to understand once it's implemented, but it's hard to explain.
Yeah, so maybe I'll make an attempt and you can fill my gap.
Yeah, I got you on that, buddy.
So the disrespect draft, each year after the rookie draft happens, every team gets to choose another team's picks, first round draft pick. I'm already screwing this up.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the team that finished last, they get to pick whichever team's future first round pick they want, rookie pick. And then kind of going until the first place team.
For the following year. So if it's 2021, so like, yeah.
This year would be picking 2022 first round draft picks, starting with the worst finished team. And it's fun, not only because it eliminates tanking, but it kind of builds up some trash talk and stuff. But that's the general concept of it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of adds like a little bit an element of fun. And then throughout the year, you're never tanking because you never really have your own pick unless you find a way to trade for it and the loopholes and blah, blah, blah.
That's a good one. What's another topic, Hurley?
We do have another one. In fact, I'm going to let Waylon continue to drive. So Waylon, which one do you want to talk about next?
Let's go the next most controversial, which would be eliminating trade deadlines.
Trade deadlines.
I've advocated for this for years, and in my favorite league, the one that I guess paid the most attention to, we changed this 2 years ago. And some of the biggest fears of this are, you know, when you go into the playoffs, it should be the team that you have, and you know, teams that trade during the playoffs, it's going to mess everything up. and which to me is just a little bit of paranoia. In the 2 years, no one's made a trade that's a playoff team during the playoffs. So like all of this fear is like gone. But to me, just like the last one, I think we look too much at what the playoff teams and the best teams need and not enough what the worst teams need. So like during the playoffs, let's say you have a big injury and hey, you got a game coming up. So you would probably overpay to fill, to get a veteran, to get a player from another team. So it kind of creates activity among the worst teams and lets them rebuild quicker and still lets you compete. And to me, I think that's best for the entire league. And there's no difference between making a trade in week 12 and week 13 versus week 14, but it seems like it's a big like taboo.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple different solutions. I agree that it does absolutely 1,000% helps with activity. A lot of trades in my no trade deadline leagues, a lot of trades happen in those last couple weeks as teams try to bolster their roster for that final week or the semifinals, so on and so forth. I'm very big on, once again, I'm an advocate of skill and not, you know, fortune. And I think having the fortune to have the pieces that another team wants in order for you to get that player that is going to go off in week 15 or 16 isn't necessarily skill. It's just happened. It's a coincidence that you have the player that that person wants in exchange for that stud. So I don't like that aspect. What I do think is I don't like when trade deadlines are like week 10, 11, 12, even 13. I'm a very big like, okay, let's meet in the middle. So the teams that don't want a trade deadline and the teams that want a trade deadline, how about we make the trade deadline week before week 15 kicks off? And here's why. So what happens is week 14, most teams have a lot of leagues have teams with buys. So that team doesn't actually get a chance to bolster. Their playoffs haven't even started. It's week 14. The playoffs have started, but they haven't played a game. So I'm okay making the trade deadline week 15. So the teams that now get to see what their matchup is, they can maybe bolster their roster for their playoff run. And so now everybody has a chance before their playoffs have kicked off to make roster changes. And I'm totally cool with that. What it does is now there's really only a 10-day window where trades are locked in your league. And it's not like a 3-week window, which a lot of leagues are. So you get less of that. I'm also okay with trades that if you want to make your trade deadline in week 13 or week 14, totally fine with that. But instead of having the trades go official, what you can do is the trades go on the message board. They're official trades, but they do not go into effect until after the playoffs have ended. So you can make a trade with somebody week 13, but that trade ain't official until week 16 after the games have been played. So it still allows you to be active. It just doesn't impact the playoffs, which I think is what a lot of people don't have issue with activity. Like they don't have an issue with trades being done in general. They just have an issue with the trades being done to bolster teams before the playoffs, which kind of negates a lot of the, well, you got to have the team that took you there, right? Finish what you started. This is your roster. You don't add Devonta Adams week 16 just because you have the pieces to do it and then you buy a championship. That's people's issue. But if you eliminate it being official until after the playoffs, you still allow for trading. It just doesn't impact the outcome of the playoffs.
Well, and why not let the teams that are not in the playoffs trade with each other? Just go nuts.
Because then it's, well, I'm in the playoffs and now somebody puts, let's say somebody puts Justin Jefferson on the block for whatever reason.
Shouldn't have made the playoffs. Your fault.
But let's say somebody puts, maybe not, let's say Tyreek. Tyreek goes on the block from a non-playoff team. And he's at the point where he's 26, he's not like 21, where every young, every rebuilding team wants. But maybe a Tyreek owner is like, you know what, I want even younger than Tyreek. They put him on the block. Well, now the teams in the playoffs have no shot at getting Tyreek. And that's...
Yeah, they do. They can just say, hey, listen, just wait a week and I'll offer you more than what you're getting.
They could, but I mean, how many leagues allow for that to actually be an official trade? Because somebody might change their mind.
It doesn't have to be official. It's just like, hey, stop, like, don't trade them yet.
Well, let's say Tyreek goes out and blows an ACL or has a significant injury, then what? You lose out on that. I think they're going to take what's available as opposed to waiting for this other team that could change their mind. That's not a good solution, in my opinion. I don't think that's a feasible solution.
So for me, Izzy, I think it's got to go one way or another. Like you had talked about a team getting, you know, Davante Adams in week 16. Like, so many times I hear this stuff, and it's almost like the example of, well, they're going to get Adams and they got him for nothing. Like, you're not going to get Davante Adams for nothing in a dynasty league. So, you know, you have to throw that out the window. If it, a rebuilding team gets, I mean, think of a team in the championship game and they're desperate and they just lost all their quarterbacks. And then these teams that didn't make the playoffs can get a king's ransom. That helps both teams the most. So I think either, you know, either you allow it, or I'm going to go back the other way that you're going, Izzy. Mm-hmm. I would have the trade deadline like week 8. By week 8, you decide, hey, whether I'm doing playoffs or I'm not making it, I'm going to sell off early. But having it week 13, it's like right there. Like, to me, it's just like, okay, one day ago, it's good. Now it's not okay. And it's because teams are in the playoffs. And now we're just, to me, there's just this paranoia of, you said you have to get, you have to play with who got you there. Well, weeks 1 through 12.5, and then all of a sudden you trade for Kamara. I mean, like, it's, there's no difference to me.
There's still an unknown that you're not guaranteed to make the ship, right? So week 13, you're not guaranteed to make the ship. So you're not going to make, you're not going to make the same trade week 13 that you are going to make week 16, knowing that you're in the ship versus you're a playoff team, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's still nothing is perfect, right? No situation is perfect to where you're like, okay, we've eliminated all of the luck and we've only implemented skill into this. So there's always going to be a layer of luck. But I think negating as much of the luck as possible without making the league stale, and like having the trade deadline too early, is stale for the league. It's not good for your league. Like, you don't want no activity for 8 weeks. But I think you can find reasonable ways to reduce the luck and fortune of who is deemed the champ. At the end of the day, balance in your league is important. I think that's a huge touching point that you're spot on. That's the best part about having no trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But the worst part of having no trade deadline is the whole purpose that people set out to play Dynasty or play Fantasy is to win the championship. And if you get Davante Adams for 2 first-round picks and Chase Claypool and Laviska Shenault, it might be a fair trade, but you've purchased the championship, which doesn't really
paint the full
picture of the season. And that's the whole, right, that's the whole argument.
But also, here's the other part that's lost in this. Mm-hmm. You can trade for whomever you want, and they could not do what you think they're going to do that week.
Sure.
Which is part of this. That's like, you could, how many times have we done that? A player does so great early in the season, then they just, how about Travis Fulgham? You know, hey, I'm going to trade for him. He's going to be a wide receiver 3, and then just disappears, which can happen any week.
Yeah.
Because we're all, like you said, it's luck, right? We're it's an odds thing. We're hoping this person does this, and we don't know that. So to me, if I can help out, again, if I can help out the worst teams in the league rebuild quicker, it makes the league better and more active.
Yeah. And I'm okay with, if it's like a trade, like that's not a league shifting move, right? Getting those tertiary players where they're like filling in a wide receiver 3 spot. What I don't like is the monster trades, which I see happen in my no trade deadline all the time. Like, they're just bringing in a monster asset like Travis Kelce or whatever, and this is going to help me win my league. And it's a huge advantage. You know, I've seen Keenan Allen was a big one. I had Addison Hayes on Twitter. He traded CeeDee Lamb straight up for Keenan Allen week 11 or 12 because he was locked into a playoff spot. He was going for a buy, and he was going to go win his championship. And I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that because you're making this decision early, and it's not guaranteed that you're going to make the playoffs, and it's not guaranteed that Keenan Allen's going to make a difference every single week for 5 weeks. So there's a little bit of risk reward there, as opposed to waiting. Okay, I finally made it. Now I'm going to go after my stud. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue that I think I have, and I think a lot of people have. But like I said, I would rather us, instead of saying it's either week 13 or week or no trade deadline whatsoever, I'm okay saying, well, let's just at least make it, let's meet in the middle, make it week 15. Every single team has the same exact opportunity. You have a trade that you can make before your playoffs have begun. So week 15, everybody's playoffs has begun. Anything after week 15 to week 16 is off limits. I think it allows us to get those trades, and it prevents the league from being stale. But it's a good topic. It always is a good topic.
Right. And actually, this is one I didn't talk about beforehand. Just again, like you said, you have to figure out with your owners what you like. We're just giving you guys options. Another one that I absolutely love, I didn't bring this up, maybe you guys are going to hate this one, but is 2 years ago in one of my leagues, we started implementing, and this is implemented a lot this year because of COVID, but previously, some owners, they work different shifts. So they're not available, you know, prior to games, inactives, actives, et cetera, is when you submit your lineup in the message board, you can submit, you know, two maybe per week, I think is the rule, two or three players that are maybe questionable. And you could say, hey, you know, like late in the year, okay, Matt Stafford's my starter. If he is inactive, then it's going to be Baker Mayfield, something like that. Because if you're not, I mean, one, we have lives. We shouldn't be glued to our phones or the computer and, you know, actives, inactives, et cetera. Some people might like that, but some people might not like that. And you put it out way in advance. So that way, if they go inactive, hey, this player goes in there, it gives you a sense of security. You know, you can't game the system. It's literally posted way in advance. What do you guys think about that rule?
I have no issue with that.
Yeah, and you're right. This year was mandatory for it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of making sure on a week-to-week basis teams are actually starting teams. And it's not good for... Sure, it hurts the team that's missing that activation of a player, and it helps the team that's going up against that team. But I am all for every single week the best teams have the best players in their lineups. Like, that's like, if there's any way for me to get that achieved in my leagues, I'm doing it every single day of the week. And I think that's a really good way to do it. It's on the message board. Everybody can see it. There is no, hey, I messaged the commissioner and then screenshots. And it's just like, it's there. There's no questions asked. The commissioner plugs them in and it's done. I think it's a great idea. No issue with it.
As a commissioner, I don't like it a ton, but I think it makes a ton of sense.
How does it
just
work?
To have that.
How does it work though for like Sunday night games?
It has to be posted ahead of kickoff for both players.
But then it's then now we're having a conversation, because now it's you're taking the chance that player X, you're around. Your argument was, well, let's say somebody's working like the late shift or whatever. But I think it's okay. I'm down for that if it's just the noon games, because that is an actual window of time where you could miss it based on work or family or whatever. But at night, you've had plenty of time to set your schedule. Like, you know what your lineup is.
Yeah, but maybe your alternate already played.
Right, that's
though.
What I'm saying.
But no, but for Sunday night, you don't need to worry about Sunday night. Like, Sunday night,
as long
me,
as your
like,
alternate hasn't played either. Yeah.
No, but I don't think Sunday night or the afternoon game should have a replacement player. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but what if Matt Stafford's questionable plays Sunday night and yep. Sam Bradford plays in the early games and you called out Bradford as your alternate. Come to find out when the night games start, Stafford is out and you revert back to whatever Bradford's or Darnold's.
No, I'm saying you can't replace your Sunday night players. Like, you live and die with what you choose. You've had Nick's initial argument was or point was, you don't have time to make sure all your lineups are set in the morning of Sunday morning, right?
Well, it's any game.
That's kind of the whole idea. You could be working, you could be doing anything like that. We have lives. So there could be inactives that you miss. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to change the player in time. The inactives are made an hour and a half before the games, right? They're announced an hour and a half before the games. So that window of time, you might miss that opportunity. But you should be at some point in time on a Sunday, you should be around to make claim of who you want your inactives to be or who you want your roster, what your roster to look like come Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. You see what I'm saying? So like the whole,
because
go ahead.
What if it's Wednesday and you're like, this guy got a concussion, but hey, if he plays, I'm starting him. If not, I'm going to put in the backup, and the backup plays Monday or Thursday or Sunday. It doesn't matter. You just post it ahead of time. And then it's set and forget. You know what I mean? Because you know Sunday it's JP's twin's birthday party, and you're like, dude, I don't want to be by my phone. My wife's gonna be mad at me, and then there's no pressure on it.
But don't you think that becomes an issue for the commissioner, where people are gonna lazily just, instead of actually going to set their lineup and making sure it's the best lineup, they're just gonna post on the message board, start player X for Y, and then just don't even worry about it. And then now the commissioner's going in and he's changing lineups all throughout Sunday?
No, it hasn't happened at all. Because you only do it when you're like, it has to be a really good player and you're not sure who's going to, if he's going to be active or not. Because it's not like you're saying, between these two players, who has the better game and put him in. It's if they're active or not. Like it's
yeah.
We've had to change lineups. I would say maybe 5 to 8 times the whole year. It hasn't been that, but it. You had said earlier you want to make your leagues fun. That's why you want them to be, you know, for owners and easy. That makes it easier and fun. Is it harder for the commissioner? Sure, but I don't think it would be used as often as you would think. Mm-hmm. But it is a safety cushion.
Gotcha, Hurley. What do you think? Yeah, no.
No, I agree. And I think the scenario where it's like the Stafford is the nighttime game, there could be news that comes out in the morning on Sunday, even though he's playing at night, that he's officially inactive that you may have missed because you work a different shift or because, you know, you're at your kid's birthday party or something like that. And you don't have the opportunity to change your lineup. So even though you're right, the advantage of waiting until night is still there. I think the idea is true. And again, I don't like it as a commissioner, but it makes sense from a player for sure.
Yeah, I'd need to chew on it, but I think I look at it this way. I wouldn't be upset if that was a league rule, and I think after I had like a season of experience in it, I would probably be on board. You
can't have like unlimited. You can't say who your stars and then all of your backups if they're inactive. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Nick, I got one for you. Izzy, you're going to be on board with this because you've been on board with this for several years. But this year forcefully pushed me into the Izzy side on this one. I am all for eliminating IR in leagues. After this year and going through the brutal year of moving things in and out of IR for COVID and people who are really injured and having last minute people coming off IR, going on, off, on, off, on, I am ready to increase the amount of roster positions for each team to account for how many IR positions you're getting rid of, because I cannot handle it anymore, both as a player and as a commissioner.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, depending on the roster size and the league size, because what makes it fun is if you're in leagues that have really slim IRs or none, is you start being like, okay, is this guy healthy next year worth being on my roster versus this backup, whatever. And that creates another game within the game, which is strategy, which we want more of.
Yeah, like Antonio Gandy-Gold and Kelvin Harmon type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think I think Hurley's point was spot on. So any league that I commission, my whole thing is, okay, how many roster spots do we want? Okay, let's say 24. Okay, well, how many IR? 4. All right, now the league is 28. Like, that's your roster. Those are your 4 IRs. They're active roster spots. If you want to stash 4 hurt guys, be my guest. If you want to drop those 4 hurt guys. Taxi, same thing. I mean, Taxi is less of a concern because it's like you can't move. If you're going to do Taxi, they're redshirted. Like, I don't want anybody moving up and down. Like, I don't want people saying, well, this person isn't eligible. This person, like, I just don't want. I'm in too many leagues. I got a job. I got a family. I have a side business. Like, I don't want. I want as little commissioner maintenance as possible.
Side business.
It's just like,
yeah. Are you an escort on the side or something? What's your escort OnlyFans. Service?
OnlyFans.
Oh, is that what they call escort
$6.99.
Okay.
Hold on, JP. I saw Izzy in a referee costume before. Remember that? That's the side business.
That was his OnlyFans act that he does. He strips off his referee costume every night. Mm-hmm. What's your OnlyFans ID, by the way, for the listeners?
I can't share it.
Oh, you see, your OnlyFans ID is actually, I can't share it.
The at the micro machine.
Do you talk super fast during your OnlyFans videos, just like the micro machines guy?
No, I don't. I don't. Oh, I'm slow.
Dang.
Sultry. Slow and sultry.
Slow and sultry.
you know what, though? Like, along this same line is what annoys me about some leagues and why I won't join them is when they have such small benches.
I would rather have say something else.
Yeah. I would rather have huge benches, right? Like you're saying, like add in the IR spots because that increases strategy versus like, oh, I can just pick up this guy on waivers.
I hate that.
It's like that guy shouldn't be on waivers, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So benches, you legitimately mean benches. You're not using that as a different word for something else.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep this PG, and you guys are trying to go X. So
yeah,
it's just so hard.
Yeah, nice. I definitely err on the side of more roster spots versus less. And partly it's selfish. Like the worst part of my game is waivers. Like the more leagues you have, the harder it is to track what waivers you put in. I have leagues that run waivers every single day. I have leagues that run waivers just once It's just like, I got way too much going on to start remembering where waivers are. So the less I have to worry about the players that could be on waivers, the better for me. So make those roster spots nice and healthy, stash wherever you want to stash, and I'm good with it. I just, the IR, it's like, it's so unnecessary. Just add the roster. Who would honestly be like, no, it's like, I'd rather just put them on IR. I don't want to have three roster spots. Like, who is that person?
Riley.
I love Riley. Great guy. He's insisting on roster IR. And I'm like, okay, if you guys are insisting on IR, well, then I'm going to remove the roster spots that I made for IR. So if you guys want to go down from 28 to 26 and add two IRs, great. But who's going to vote for that? Who wants that?
I think Riley's being a heel. Riley's a guy in our DTC league, writer for DTC, former writer.
Riley Bymaster, yeah.
And I think he does it just to get under Izzy's skin because it ends up being a very entertaining conversation every time it comes up.
Yeah.
He should see him right now. Izzy's like sweating, I think, just thinking about this debate and conversation they had. Riley got it done.
Seriously. Yeah. It always ends up with Izzy and Riley basically, you know, measuring each other's bench size and see who's bigger. Who's got the bigger bench.
Bigger bench, yeah.
Can Izzy even bench?
Do I even bench?
To me, you're like Kevin Durant. Remember in that combine when you couldn't bench 185?
Dude, I can't bench. I can't. How many reps
on 225, Izzy? What can you get?
Dude, I can't. Dude, I might be able to get the bar up.
Wow. Ooh, just the bar. Wow.
I don't know. I've never in my entire life tried to bench. I played sports. I went through and I never had to.
If you haven't ever done it, I would imagine you'd struggle with the bar or very little weight.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your max, JP?
I've done two reps at 245.
Ooh, I got you.
Yeah, I know you do. I got really long arms. I'm like, yeah,
you're taller. Yeah,
I got like a 6'6" wingspan. That makes it really hard for me.
Yeah,
but I got a big bench, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well, maybe you got me beat there. I did two at 265.
Nice. Lovely. Wow. One rep, one MR.
Long time ago.
How much is a bar? How much is, what's
45.
A bar?
45.
45?
Yeah.
Yeah. 30. Can I get a 35 bar?
Could you bench Lisi? Because Lisi's got to be pushing 45 right now, right?
Yes, I can bench Lisi. She's way over 45.
Really? Like 120?
She's not that heavy. She's 6.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I can bench Lisi right now. My thing is my left arm is significantly weaker than my right arm. So I imagine me benching and like the bar just like air. Kind of going tilt like almost like a seesaw.
That's because Lisi's head is heavier than her feet. Duh.
Yeah. No, lefty. Lefty.
Izzy's a lefty, so the left side goes up.
Yeah,
that's for sure what it is.
No, but I think that would be my issue. But
I could my max, Waylon, to I want to revise my max. My max is 4.7 Lisi's. I think the Lisi has become a point of measurement for weight.
Wow, it's like that Spark score. You got to like make that one number.
I like it. Yeah, that's what we're doing. So, Waylon, we got time for one more topic of this conversation, and we've got plenty left too. So maybe we can make this another podcast, but choose your last topic for this one. We've got playoff formats, deposits for trading picks, league formats, starting formats, lots of different options to pick from here. So what's the last one?
The one I'm burning on the most would be who gets playoff spots in your leagues. And, you know, most leagues, I mean, we're not talking about all play or all that kind of stuff. You know, you're going to have win-loss get, in my opinion, if you have six teams making the playoffs and it's a 12-team league or 14-team league, six should make it. I'm okay with four getting in with win-loss. The last two should be most points scored.
Points against. It's always me.
I mean, because points scored is all that you are in control of. And as Izzy talks about, with that luck factor, you want to eliminate luck. If you're a really great scoring team and you've had really bad points against or just bad luck with matchups during the year, your most points scored should get you in the playoffs. And honestly, that's almost all that matters. But to make it fun, people have head-to-head leagues. So I think that's a nice blend of both.
Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, yeah, not even. I mean, anything that reduces luck, I'm in. Like, I want to make this as skillful as possible. Like, I want to eliminate luck as much as possible. So if it's, if I could have my way, I'd do all points and just, but then it reduces the fun of head to head. So I get the fascination with head to head. Kind of like the points that you're talking about, Nick, was kind of like what Hurley and I do when we commission all our leagues, and all my leagues that I commission are always, there's head to head and then there's an all play. So there's two matchups every week, one against the entire league and one head to head. It kind of does the same thing. It offsets the week to week luck factor of getting playing against teams that have, you know, monster weeks against you. And, you know, I started doing this when every time we were in a Hurley and I's home league, the worst team would somehow get in the playoffs based on their points against. And like, this team is so bad and they're in the playoffs. So yeah.
Well, and quickly, Izzy, too, for the benefit of the listeners, for those that want to consider adding that, we call it the 50-50 basically, where you're an all play. MFL has the victory point set up on their service, so you can actually do it so it's automatic. For the first couple years, we had to do that manually as commissioners. It sucked.
It was victory points are available, but I wasn't a fan of the victory points, so I did it manually. But you can do victory points. So each week, a win counts as two, and finishing top half counts as two.
Yeah, but you could do, I mean, you could do a one and one. Like, you could do whatever point you want to assign for the head-to-head and whatever point you want to assign for the all-play. Whatever number you want is fine. You can have each be worth one, whatever. So
Yeah. And some leagues, I was in a league, I don't know if, it might have been with you, Nick. Bustapalooza, I think they did it in thirds. So top third, middle third, bottom third. And there was like zero, one, two. So it's like a little more. Okay. It was geared more towards the all-play versus the head-to-head.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, there's different unique ways to do it. But I mean, yeah.
You could tier it too.
Yeah.
You could tier it. You could have, you know, if you really want to reward those top two scoring teams, they get a, you know, more, or like a, one more point than the teams that are three through six in scoring. You know, I mean, you could do it however you want to do it. But again, like Izzy was talking about before, talk to your owners in your league and make it in a way that everyone likes and it's fun. Because, well, in the end, this is about fun. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And I think that's pretty good. That's a good spot to stop. I do want to do one last callback really quickly before we sign off.
Final thoughts.
Izzy knows what it is. Okay, everybody. All the listeners out there, I want you to get nice and cozied up with your speakers or your headphones. And I want you to get cozied up because I'm going to have you turn the volume down a little bit lower. You know, let's get relaxed, you know, loosen up, do some stretching. Maybe some yoga, like some downward facing dog.
Yes.
Just get yourself in the mood. Turn the lights down to dim if you got that dimmer switch. If you don't, get an electrician really quick and have the dimmer switch put onto your light switch and dim those lights down nice and low, because it's time for Final Thoughts with Nick Whalen.
I just love how Izzy's just waiting for this. he like hates and loves it at the same time.
I love
now.
It. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so I guess what I wanted to go with would be this is supposed to be fun. And when you want to look at, you know, how much time you put into leagues, or you put into Twitter, or you put into talking with your league, you know, it has to be rewarding for you, you know. And I think sometimes people can put too much time into things, or they get really heated about arguments and debates, but we're all just people. And you know, I know this has been a really rough, I wanted to say just 2020, but 2021 is having a run at it right now too. And just realize that, you know, it's supposed to be fun and we're all struggling through this. And, you know, if you're not having fun with it, backing away or not being on Twitter or, you know, engaging in that stuff, you know, that's okay. But, you know, I think that you have to think about what your purpose is, you know. And for me, to be honest, my purpose is I want to have fun and form some good relationships. And that's why I appreciate DTC letting me back on here. And I'm going to have a lot of fun talking with you guys. I appreciate you guys. You guys are real dudes. So thank you. And I appreciate that.
Welcome back. Right?
Is that a tear, Izzy? Did you cry?
No.
No, that's a tattoo. He's got one for everyone he's murdered. Yeah. He's in a gang.
It's a half of one.
Yeah. It's a half, yeah. I was there. I didn't actually pull the trigger. Yeah. I was there.
No, the half a teardrop is from shooting his dad in the head with a BB gun.
Yeah.
And it was a ricochet, so he only gets a half a tattoo.
It was just it hit him in the chest. It didn't hit him in the head.
That's all we got, you guys. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully you tune in future episodes as we welcome back Nicholas Whalen again and again and again. Hello, Lisi. What's up?
Welcome back, Nick.
Welcome back, Nick.
There we go. Nailed it. Now it is official, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the second thing Lisi's ever said in the podcast. The first thing she ever said was, bye, Matt Stafford. Yep. Goodbye, Matt Stafford.
It sounded like goodbye, and it was supposed to be like, actually go out and buy him.
Yep,
so it was
you're
like,
supposed to buy Matt Stafford.
You take
Stafford,
it how you wish,
buy
yeah.
Matt Stafford, yep. And now, welcome back, Nick. Nick, you got to feel pretty special, man. So welcome back, Nicholas Whalen. Thank you for listening, you guys. Tune in again next week. We'll talk about more stuff and things. Bye!